Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We go through life unaware, unarmed, and unprepared, mistaking the enemy for their neighbor, their boss, their difficult family member. We mistake the enemy for the people that are coming at us, not realizing that behind these people are demonic forces that want to get you off of stride.
The most important battle we ever face in this life as Christians occurs in the unseen realm. And the battle fought against the enemy of our souls is one we've already won if we are aware, awake, and fighting with the power that comes from an intimate relationship with Jesus. With more on how to be aware of the battle we are in our series Combat Zone, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with Ephesians 6, 12, and 13.
Father, thank you that over 40 years of ministry, through several difficult times that we faced, you've always come through. And we know that you provide and that this church is your church. It doesn't belong to any one of us, and that you're going to take care of your church. And we're going to do the things you've called us to do. Where you guide, you provide. And I thank you for those that gave, and I pray you'd bless them. Meet their needs from the riches of Christ Jesus. And thank you for your constant provision, not only for us in the church, but personally in our lives. We are blessed. And we pray that you would bless this Bible study. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So there's a story in the book of Acts, and we have seven sons of Sceva, and they decide that they're going to cast a demon out of a demon-possessed man. And so they finally make this statement to this demon-possessed man, "Come out of him in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches." The response of the enemy was, "We know who Jesus is, and we know who Paul is, but we don't know who you are." And the man jumped on them with supernatural strength, beat them up, ripped off their clothes, and they ran naked and scared from the house. Now, this account we find in the book of Acts helps us to know that spiritual warfare cannot be something that we do when we don't have a right relationship with God. The power that you have in the spiritual realm depends on who you are with God. When I ask God to bind the strong man, when I'm praying against some demonic force in some area, I don't want the demonic force saying, "We know Jesus, but who are you?" I want him to know who I am. This means that you might have some unconfessed, unrepentant sin in your life. And that sin is keeping you from a deep relationship with God, and you're giving way to the enemy. The Bible says don't give place to the enemy. The Bible says if anyone's in Christ, he doesn't sin and the evil one doesn't touch him. I don't think it's saying that we don't sin. It's saying the way the enemy gets access into your life is when you have unconfessed, unrepentant sin. Some of you here may be planning sin. You got to plan for it. You're like, "Oh, this is going to happen here in a couple of weeks, and then I'm going to do this and this. That's the kind of thing that makes you incredibly vulnerable to the enemy. The kind of thing that makes you not vulnerable is wearing the armor, which we're in the middle of talking about, and we're going to talk about each piece of armor in the successive weeks from here on out, but making sure that you're right between God. You don't have any unconfessed, unrepented sin. You haven't harbored sin in your life that you're like, "I'm going to get to you later on. I got this. I've got a plan. I'm going to get to this sin later on." You don't have any of that. If you have a temptation, a stronghold, then you ask God to help you. Ask the Father to help you overcome the stronghold in the name of Jesus. There's power in that. And I can tell you, after 50-something years of walking with God through my teen years, my time in the 20s, I can tell you that God has faithfully met me when I've called out to him in the midst of temptation. God has faithfully met me there, and God will faithfully meet you there as well. And that's not that I've always overcome temptation when that's happened, but God's mercy is part of it. God is merciful, and his restoration is incredibly powerful. Now, when we talk about spiritual warfare, the stakes couldn't be higher. Some battles make headlines, others shape history, but the greatest battles of all, the ones that determine destinies of individuals, are not fought in earthly battlefields. They unfold in the unseen realm, where forces of darkness seek to do Satan's bidding, killing, stealing, and destroying. And I think that if we all were able to sit down and give a part of our lives, we could say, I believe that this could be spiritual warfare. If you have an idea, that something in your life that's going on is spiritual warfare, it probably is. Because we're going to see in this passage today how prevalent spiritual warfare is. The series that we're in is called Combat Zone. We're covering Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. That's to put on the full armor of God. And it breaks down the armor. And this gives us the keys to be able to be victorious in the battle. And I talked about it maybe 2 weeks ago, how there's so many weirdnesses out there where people do things that are unbiblical. And they don't have the power to defeat the enemy. We have the truth, and the truth beats the enemy. The problem is that many Christians are unaware of the war. They just don't know what's happening. Sometimes I'm unaware of the battle. And my wife will say to me, this could be a spiritual issue. Oh, yeah. I need to go fight the enemy. We go through life unaware, unarmed, and unprepared, mistaking the enemy for their neighbor, their boss, their difficult family member. We mistake the enemy for the people that are coming at us, not realizing that behind these people are demonic forces that want to get you off of stride. Now, Paul strips away all of these illusions in Ephesians 6, 12 and 13, reminding us that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against an organized, relentless, strategic army. The title of our message today is The Battle is Spiritual, Not Against Flesh and Blood. Let me read you these two verses and I'll make some comments along the way in case I run out of time and can't get to them, all right? Number one, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This is personal. It's up close to personal. And wrestling matches are exhaustive. And I wrestled in seventh grade in the 105-pound category. Almost as tall as I was today, by the way, and 105 pounds. I was like a toothpick wrestling. But I tell you what, you get exhausted really quick. Even at what age was I, 13 years old when I did that? And you get exhausted quickly. And this is a wrestling match. It's not anything that's over real soon. And then it goes, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now we get a ranking of demonic forces. Principalities that are over kingdoms. Each nation has its own principality. Michael the archangel is the principality over Israel. We get that in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, where it talks about a time coming on the earth that is worse than anything this world's ever going to see, worse than anything that's ever happened. It hasn't happened yet. It's the tribulation period. The Antichrist will be revealed during that time, and a great number of the earth is going to be destroyed. People, flesh is going to become rare during that time, and Israel is going to be attacked by the enemy, the nation of Israel, which is a nation again now, which wasn't a nation for a long time. But Daniel stood true that in the end of the days, this would be a time of Jacob's trouble. And it says, Michael, in this time that's worse than anything else the Lord's going to ever see or has ever seen, Michael stands up, the great prince of your people. He's talking to Daniel. The people of Daniel are the Jewish people. Michael is the angel for the Jewish people. Take that, all you anti-Semites that are out there. You decide not to fight against the Jewish people, but you fight against Michael himself, which we see as the most powerful angel at all. Just imagine the anti-Semitism that's going to come along the scene, and we know what happens in those last days. And Michael's been sitting down and he just stands up. And Michael's like, all right, let's go. It's time to go. Now, we also have, I believe, demonic forces over America, over England, over Canada, over all the different parts of the world. And this is why so many weird things happen. And they are spiritual battles. There are so many bizarre things that happen that a rational person would not believe it. Things like men competing in women's sports, men being allowed to undress in women's locker rooms, which has happened. I heard one account where she turned around and there's a 6'4" man, fully nude, standing in front of her, claiming that he was a woman. And he's the one who won in the, I don't know if it was the Olympics or not, but he was, I don't think it was the Olympics, but he's the one who won. He tied the gal and they gave the first place medal to him. This doesn't make any sense to us. This is the devil saying, you're not a man, you're not a woman, you're some other kind of a gender. The Bible says God made them male and female. God doesn't make mistakes. God didn't make a mistake with you. The battle is in our schools and it's demonic. In our schools, Planned Parenthood is the one who brings information into our schools. How did that ever happen? How did Planned Parenthood ever do that? These are the ones that make billions of dollars off of abortions. How did they ever do that? And so they're the ones bringing it in. And so parents at home read in horror what was happening. And in Virginia, they had a school meeting and they read what was being said in this out loud. And the school board member said, stop, that's not appropriate. Yeah, neither is it to a preteen in the school that you're reading this stuff to. It is nothing less than grooming. You are grooming when you say you get to decide what gender you are. You might not be a boy. You might not be a girl. They're grooming them for the LGBT community for later on. And who knows what else? If anybody came along and started to talk to children in that way, they would be arrested and they would be identified as someone who is a possible sex offender because of the things that they're telling them. These are demonic. How about the drag queens over-sexualizing themselves and then reading to the kids? I can't even describe it. I saw a drag queen reading hour where the gal was wearing a skirt and she was hopping around and she had pretend underneath the skirt. So she's jumping around, that was showing to kids. Tell me that's not demonic. Tell me there's not demonic forces behind that. So these demonic things are happening in our nation. Now here's the thing, the evangelicals are the largest voting bloc in America, but only 50% of evangelicals vote. Seth Gruber talks about where culture intersects with Christianity and how we need to speak up on these things. We need to vote for local things that are happening. We need to vote for our school boards to make sure that there are good school boards. We need to vote for the national level of things that are here. And we need to stop making excuses that I don't get political. I don't vote because I'm not political. Look, political's coming after you. And so we sit back and watch these things happen and think, how could anybody believe this silliness? Because it's demonic. And he blinds the eyes of those who do not believe. Now I'm way ahead in my study. I really jumped ahead on that there. But I got it in. So the title of this message is, Know Your Enemy. The battle is spiritual. Know your enemy. We need to recognize the nature of the enemy. This is a spiritual battle, not a physical one. We need to understand the ranks of the enemy. We're going to see that here, that the forces of darkness are highly structured and strategic. Jesus said of the demonic world, a house undivided can't stand. They're working together. And a lot of times Christians don't work together. But the satanic forces are to do the work they want to do. And finally, take up the whole armor that is provided. Without it, we are defenseless. With it, we are unstoppable. What a radical difference. If we read what the armor is and we understand its character, being a man or a woman of character, then we know we give no place to the enemy. We give place to the enemy when we have unconfessed, unrepented sin in our lives. When we say, I'm a Christian, but we don't live like one, we're giving a place to Satan. But when we put on our armor, now we can stand strong. And we need a lot more people who are going to put on their armor. So let's consider our text. This is Ephesians 6:12. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We talked a little bit about that. But against principalities. That's the highest ranking of angels there are. Do you remember when Daniel prayed when he was in Babylon? He began to think about, you said that 70 years they had not given the land rest because a week of years, Israel not only held weeks of days, but weeks of years. And for 490 years, they had not given land the rest, the Sabbath day. And so God took them into Babylon and said, because you didn't give the land their Sabbath day, you will be there for 70 years. So 490 years they didn't give it, they were going to be there for 70 years. Daniel did some calculation and said, we're almost there. We're going to be released pretty soon. We're going to be able to go back. So Daniel began to pray. And Daniel prayed for 21 days. And on the 21st day, Gabriel showed up. That's the angel that appeared to Zacharias, John the Baptist's dad. That's the angel that appeared to Mary, was Gabriel. So Gabriel, we call him the messenger angel. We don't know whether that's his real name, but we see he brings messages. And he showed up to Daniel and said, I left on the first day you prayed. You prayed and your prayer was heard. And now it's 21 days later and I finally got here because Michael, the archangel, came and spelled me. Michael, the archangel, came and spelled me. So the most powerful angel we know of, Michael, came and spelled Gabriel, who was being held back by the prince of Persia. And when he leaves Daniel, so now think about this. Let's just not miss this point. It's possible that you have prayed and there's a spiritual battle taking place and you see the demonic forces of darkness. Anytime there's darkness happening, that's the enemy. The enemy is in darkness. You and I are children of the light. God is light. And so Daniel, he was told on the first day you prayed, I was dispatched. I had to have someone come in and step in and I was able to come to you now. And then he says, but when I leave, I have to fight the prince of Greece. So there's another demonic force that's over a nation. So the battle for our country and all countries is demonic. We just happen to live in a place where we are invited in to the political process. And the enemy, I'm talking about people now, have said, well, you Christians, you shouldn't be involved in politics because you're Christians. Well, where'd you ever get that from? Where'd that ever come from? That if we live in a nation that allows us to vote to structure the nation, that we should be quiet and not vote. By the way, we ought to understand the biblical principles and hold their feet to the fire. When there are primaries and there are people that don't believe certain things, we ought to have people in the evangelical party who will speak for us and say, we're not voting for you. You don't believe in this? Then we'll vote for someone else. You want our vote, then you need to represent us. That's the way America works. And we're able to be involved in that. There's no reason for us to be quiet about those kind of things. So we got to know our enemy, and we have these different powers that are involved there. Let me see what I'm looking at. So the nature of our battle is spiritual. It's in the spiritual realm. We can't see it. Jesus knew this. When Jesus was being crucified, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The soldiers weren't the ones behind the crucifixion. The religious leaders weren't the ones behind the crucifixion. Pilate and the Romans weren't the ones behind the crucifixion. It was the demonic forces who nailed him to the cross, who I believe never would have done had they realized that he was going to be defeated by the cross, that God was going to use suffering. The next time someone says, if God's good, why is there suffering in the world? You can say, because God's got a plan for suffering. And Jesus came and suffered immensely that anyone who calls on his name could be saved. And so it's a spiritual battle. Now, Paul reinforces this mindset of the spiritual battle in 2 Timothy 2, 25 and 26. If God, perhaps, this is what he says, if God will perhaps grant them repentance. Now, here's the first part that I didn't put in here. The Bible says the servant of the Lord, you guys are all servants of the Lord who know him and walk with him. The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, correcting those who are in opposition. And then it says, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. So that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. When someone is believing a lie, it is the devil that has snared him because Satan is a liar. He has been one from the beginning, the Bible says, and he is the father of all lies. And so demonic warfare on our part is knowing the truth. And I'm way ahead of myself when we get to the belt of truth. We'll talk more about that. But he understood it's a spiritual battle. People are taken captive by a snare of the enemy. When you're talking to a Jehovah Witness at your door, or you're talking to a Mormon, or you're talking to someone else who doesn't believe what is true, this is a spiritual battle and you're dealing with demonic forces that are behind the scenes. Corrie Ten Boom realized this. The Nazis, and I'm talking about the real Nazis, not people call them Nazis, but the Nazis did such incredible wickedness. And it wasn't just to the Jews, by the way, it was to many other people. Corrie Ten Boom was a survivor of the concentration camp Ravensbrück. Her sister died there, and she was greatly mistreated there. So I found this: a survivor of the Nazi concentration camp encountered one of the former guards after the war, and he became a Christian and asked Corrie Ten Boom for forgiveness. Now you have a guard from a concentration camp who mistreated you and your sister, and he says, "Will you forgive me?" She initially struggled, but God gave her the strength to forgive, realizing that Satan, not this man, was the real enemy behind the atrocities. So we have to realize it's the enemy that stands behind all of these things. Now, our fight is personal. We wrestle. And because we wrestle, we need to be prepared. Listen, if you are, let's just say you're a wrestler. You know how to wrestle, but you haven't done it for 10 years. Now you're going to go wrestle somebody who was on your level when you were a wrestler. How long are you going to last in that wrestling match? Not very long. Because you got to be prepared. So it says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So if we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, we got to be vigilant because he's looking for an opportunity. It was said that he left Jesus to come back for a better opportunity. And he's such a creep, he attacks people who are weak when we're weak. He's not looking for you in your strength. He doesn't want to mess with you there. It's like lions. Lions are not the biggest cats. They're close. Tigers are larger than lions. Some, can't remember if it's jaguars or leopards, one of them gets close to their size, but they are single. They don't ever fight in groups. But the pride of the lions fight together. And they still look for the weakest. When they're going after water buffalo or zebras, they're trying to cut the weakest from the crowd, because so they can have success. Even though they're one of the strongest cats and they're fighting together. Those of you that have a pride of cats in your house, imagine if they got together and came after you. Especially if they still have their claws, if you haven't declawed them. Can you imagine what it would be like? You'd be like, I'd lose. Those cats would just tear me up. And it's true, and the enemy hasn't been declawed, but he's looking for the weakness.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.